All right. So we wanted to kind of review a little bit what we've been after this month. Diane and I spent a lot of time focusing on October. We felt that God would have us have a special focus on this month. We got to thinking about, and we were reading some books that steered us in this direction. It's very easy to leave God at church. It's very easy for this to be the total function of our Christianity at church, and obviously that's not God's will. A lot of times we go in that direction, and then all of a sudden we really need God, and we can't find him. He's there, but it's when we have that vital relationship with him going all the time. So we've been trying to focus on that, and each week take something in that direction to get us to think that way. And it's not just about parents and kids, although that's important. It's about you. If you're the only one that lives in that home, you still, there needs to be an aura of God in that place. I think we were sharing last week or the week before, we used to put Alexander Scorby reading through the New Testament, especially on tape, old cassette tape, and it changed, just that would change the atmosphere of the house. It's surprising how much you could do. I remember we used to go to stay with one of the relatives, and every time we'd go, it was difficult. So we thought, well, why don't we pray ahead of time? Why don't we speak to that ahead of time before we get there, instead of trying to deal with it once we get there? And so we started to speak to that situation and say what can and can't be done, and it made a huge difference. So we talked the first week about talking about God and the home and using things like, what was the best thing that happened today? What was the worst thing that happened today? And how does God come into play in that, and those kind of things? And then we talked about reading last week, especially the Word of God, but not just the Word of God, books about the Word of God, but just opening your mind and using your mind. I think there's less of a chance of some of the diseases that go around when we're using our mind in a positive way and moving forward. And, of course, the Word of God is our source really for everything, and God speaks to us that way. Want God to speak to you? Open your Bible, and you find out what he has to say. So this is the direction we've been going, and we want, you know, the idea is not, well, that was nice, we talked about that month, but that there's a change in the way that we do things, that we think about this during the week and say, well, I'm not quite doing that, I could line up to that. It's never about condemnation. We don't want anybody to feel bad because I'm not doing that. It's about how can I get in the flow of God? Because, you know, Diane has a very great sensitivity to God. But, you know, we're all supposed to have a great sensitivity to God. Amen. And not just when we're in church, but all the time. Amen. Obviously, he can speak to us on airplanes and everything else. So he can certainly speak to us at home. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. So today, this morning, we're going to be talking about prayer. And it's like, oh, I've heard this. Well, you're going to hear it again. Because it's once again, it goes along with the Word, and it's a life source. You know, it's all about relationships. So first I want to start by reading some quotes and definitions of what prayer is. Prayer is communion with God. It is fellowship, relationship, and intimacy with him. Prayer is conversation. It's dialogue, not monologue. Prayer is both talking and listening. The vast majority of prayer is simply visiting with God. Prayer is a spontaneous expression. God can be approached at any time, in any place. Prayer is not a matter of ritual religion. Prayer is a living, vital expression of relationship. Thus, true prayer is always a matter of the heart. Prayer is both an act and an atmosphere. We come to the Lord at specific times and bring specific requests before him. But it's also possible to live in an atmosphere of prayer. It is possible that the mood of our life should be a prayerful mood. And prayer includes asking and getting answers from God. But it is more than just asking. It's confession, adoration, thanksgiving, and fellowship with God. I really like the one it talks about prayer being an atmosphere. And that, I think that's what the direction we're focusing on today is. We want to, you know, develop our lives, be changed so that we are living in an atmosphere of prayer. And that does not mean, okay, I've got to be praying in tongues all the time, or I've got to be, you know, asking God or praying out loud. it's just being aware of God. It's being focusing on God and what He means to me. And you know, it's, well, let me just give you a quickie. You know, it's testimony. You know, and it's just, you know, it's the little things I have discovered. It's the little things that make the biggest difference in my life. The, you know, the little things can be the most irritating, negative problem, and it could also be the greatest blessing. You know, so a few days ago, discovered that I couldn't turn the furnace fan off at home. And so I tried the thermostat. You know, it just, you know, first I thought the furnace wasn't working. It was just the fan was running. But then I discovered the furnace still worked. It just, the fan wouldn't shut off. So every time we wanted to, you know, and of course, this is when the temperature's, of course, dropping. So, you know, the only way I could turn the fan off is to go downstairs. And if you've ever been on my stairs, my basement, you know, if you live in a 200-year-old home, you understand my stairs. Other than that, you probably don't. So every time I'd have to climb down, you know, get down in the basement and flip the switch on the furnace. That's the only way to turn the fan off. So that's what we did the first night. And then I found somebody to come, you know, and then, of course, he took 2 days to call me back and, you know, all that. So finally, you know, yesterday he came. And first of all, we found out he had, the guy that used to own our house, he'd worked on the furnace before, so praise God, you know, he knows the furnace. So then he came, you know, he came and he went down and I'm upstairs and he's downstairs and he says, Diane, so I said, just a sec, so I go downstairs to him and I don't know a lot about furnaces, but I've never seen this on an oil furnace. Maybe you guys are experienced with this. But there's a furnace switch. You know, everybody has a switch on their furnace. It's the master, you know, it turns everything off. Well, on ours, too, on the other side, there's this little slide thing, which apparently has to do with the fan. And if it's not all the way to the one side, apparently the fan won't turn off. So, you know, in my head, I'm figuring, you know, $150, $200, how much is it going to cost to fix my furnace? All the guy did was he moved this little thing. I said, how much do I owe you? He said, nothing. He said, you know, so praise God, he says, I'll give you a call when we call a scheduled maintenance. So I said, just like that, it's like God solved a problem just like that. You know, it's like what Mary Beth is saying, you know, when it first started, you know, you can go and you can go, oh no, what now? You know, what's going wrong now? How, where am I going to find the money for this? This is not in the budget, you know, and you can, mine can go, but I am learning, like Mary Beth said, just stop, you know, it's okay. God's going to take care of it. Somehow God's going to take care of it. And God took care of it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. It's you. All right. The idea is to, first of all, think about developing a prayer life yourself. You know, I think that we, if you grew up in church like we did, you can start to get this attitude like, the day is done. Oh, man, I haven't prayed. Like, I got to catch up on my prayer quick. But when you're doing it right, you don't ever have to think that because you've been communing with God all the time, and you don't have to get your prayers out of the way. I mean, when you think about pray without ceasing, man, and I haven't prayed, it's time to go to bed, you know, I've got a lot of catching up to do. I'm going to be up all night. And, you know, did I cover all the missionaries? Did I cover everything? You can get weighed down with that. That's not what God ever intended prayer to be. But there needs to be a personal prayer life, and it's going to be a little bit different for every person. It's not, well, somebody does this and it really works for them. Well, good, that's them. What works for you? What hooks you up with God and keeps you feeling connected with Him? So think about these are scriptures that you recognize. I'm not going to turn over there, but in Luke 18:1, Jesus said, "I'm going to teach you this parable." And the purpose of this parable is to let you know, man, not always to pray and never give up. Well, that sounds like it's an important thing then, doesn't it? Always to pray, never give up. And then, of course, Paul comes along later and says, like we said, pray without ceasing.
I shared a message at the beginning of the year, and some of you may remember some of it. But we had a week of prayer, and every day we did something different. Because that's what we need to get a handle. You know, prayer is not just asking God for stuff. You know, and when we understand prayer, that should be the minimal thing, you know, the asking. But prayer should be, you know, it involves praise and thanksgiving. You know, like I said about the furnace thing, I spent yesterday just every time, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord. You know, just thank you, Lord. And so, you know, a lot of prayer is just thanking God and just recognizing everything He has done for us. And then, you know, there's meditation. There's taking time to focus, to think about, to imagine, you know, to see ourselves experiencing who God is, what God has provided for us. And then, you know, there's the request, as I said. But, and then there's praying in tongues, you know. So there's various things we can do, but it's not like, you know, it's not a religious thing, and we have to get that out of our thinking, out of our believing, that it's a performance thing, that I have to, like Wayne is talking about, it's a works thing. I've got to do this. I've got to pray so long, and, you know, if I don't get my hour in today, then okay, look out, because everything's going to fall apart, you know, and it just opens the door for Satan when I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And we've got to change that thinking, because that's not how God looks at us. And so we need to change the way that we're looking at God.
Now, turn over to John 15, Gospel of John 15. I'm sure you're familiar with this verse 7. You know, another thing about prayer, too, is prayer isn't something that Doreen does for us.
That's right.
I said prayer isn't something that Doreen does for us.
Amen.
You know, thank God we have a prayer lady in the church, and she's faithful to take things before the Lord in prayer. But we should all have a prayer life before the Lord. John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I have a Wiest translation, Kenneth S. Wiest. It's one of those. There's usually, in a special translation like this, there's usually one scripture that makes it worth the whole translation. And here's the way he translates it. If you maintain a living communion with me, and my words are at home in you. I command you to ask at once something for yourself, whatever your heart desires, and it'll become yours. Notice there's, like Diane was saying, there's the heart involved there. And I think with the whole the thing as far as God's concerned, it's not just I need a new car, I need I need this, I need that, but I need to be closer to you. I need victory over this sin problem. I need peace. And you're just fellowshipping with God that way. And the sense that you develop when you have a prayer life of your own is not that you have to pray through or have to pray hard or you have to pray long, but that God is right there all the time. And you just,
Amen.
You talk to Him, He talks to you, and you get, can I call them impressions? That God is speaking to you and trying to lead you through the day. And, of course, his way is always better. It's always better. Now, we also need prayer partners in our life. We need people that we pray with. We need a church that we pray with. We need, in the home, we need people that we pray with. If there are more than one Christian in the house, if you're the only one in the house, you need somebody that you can call and pray with, because the Lord has developed something about that it has a multiplying effect. One put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight, those kind of things. And it's not about, you know, I have a big need, so I'm going to have to call every person, every church, every ministry that prays, and then, well, you know, God will finally listen.
Right.
It's not even trying to get God to listen, because God has already said He's listened, and He sent Jesus. Praise God.
Yeah.
The answer's already there. Look at 2 Thessalonians. Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Apostle Paul said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Paul had prayer partners. Paul was a prayer partner. Paul prayed for all the churches. He was close to this group at Thessalonica. He was close to the group at Philippi. Seemed like he was always praying for the group at Corinth. They were needing the help all the time. But he had people that were praying with him, and he couldn't send a text. And he couldn't call them on the phone. But when he would write a letter, he, you know, encouraged them to be praying together. There's an interesting prayer situation in the book of Acts when Peter was taken and put in jail, and the angel woke him up and bumped him on the shoulder, and his bands fell off, and he's coming out, and gates opened for him. Well, the first automatic opening door, you know, comes out, the gate opens for him, and And then it says Peter finally realized, hey, this is real. I'm not just dreaming this. And prayer was being made for him, and he went to the house where it was being made. And what was it, Rhoda, I think her name was, comes to the door when he knocks, and she's so excited that it's him, she goes back in and doesn't even let him in. And they're telling her, he's not coming. What a faithful bunch that was. Man, we're praying for him, but can't be him. So make sure when you get your prayer partners that they're actually going to believe God. You know. Praise God. We need to teach, obviously, teach our children to pray and to pray with them when they're being raised up. It should be something that we understand that we do, something that we're a part of from an early time in our life.
One thing is just with kids is to, if we do it at home, the daily thing, whether it's with your kids or whether it's with your spouse, we need to be comfortable enough praying that we can pray in front of somebody else. It's amazing how many Christians will not, you know, you're at a group at a restaurant and, somebody is supposed to say grace. And, you know, so I've done this with a group of women, you know, no. Everybody's afraid to pray in front of somebody else. So the question you need to ask yourself, why am I afraid to pray in front of other people? It's because one of the things I think is because we figure we have to do it right, we have to say it the right way and we have to use the right words. And if we're looking at prayer that way, then we miss something. Because prayer is just, if you're having a conversation with the person across the table, what's the difference between whether you're talking to them or whether you're talking to God? It's still you just having a conversation. So if that's you, then you need to spend some time with God and find out why and deal with that. But with your kids, train your kids up so they are not afraid to pray in front of their siblings, in front of you as parents. You know, never judge the way anybody prays. Never say, well, you got to say it this way. There is no right or wrong way to pray. You're praying to God. You're talking to God. Is there a right way? Do you correct your kids? Do you correct the people around you when they talk to you and say, no, you said that wrong? If you're my spouse, but anyhow.
Be nice. I knew that was coming.
But for the rest of you, generally we don't correct, unless we have an issue, we generally don't correct the people, you know, someone saying something to us, we don't say, well, you need to say it like this. Why do we look at prayer differently? If all prayer is conversation, you know, we need to get a hold of that so that we're comfortable talking to God and talking about God in front of other people. Amen?
Just trying to help you be grammatically correct.
I know. Yes, dear. Move on.
Okay. We may need some help ourselves before we're done with it. Praise God. There was, I don't remember which book this came out of, but talking about with the kids and the family and so on. The Jewish families begin each morning with a prayer known as, however you pronounce those words. Before getting out of bed, they would say, I offer thanks before you, capital YU, living and eternal King, for you have mercifully restored my soul within me. Your faithfulness is great. Before they even get out of bed in the morning. And what happens at home, even if you get the, do we have to, but the fact that it's been, that there's a role model situation going on, that there's something happening that way, it gets into you. It becomes part of you, and you take that into your life, which you need to do.
It's a good thing. Some of you may already be doing this, but it's a good thing to train ourselves that when we first wake up, before we ever get out of bed, pray then. Talk to God then. You know, if nothing else, declare, this is the day the Lord hath made, I will rejoice. You know, get yourself focused in a positive direction. You know, if you have kids, you know, your kids get in bed with you in the morning, well, lay there, you know, and okay, we're going to talk to God. You know, we're so thankful, God, that, you know, that you kept us through the night. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated, just simple. But what we're talking about is 24/7, you know, spending time, having a relationship with God 24 hours a day, not just at certain times. And that's what we need to do as families. That's what we need to, take this into the home, not just, you know, at church times, not just at special times, but all the time. Lifestyle.
Isn't there something scientifically about the...
Yes, the first 20 minutes when we first wake up, we are still in the, I believe it's the alpha state. So we are still connected with our heart. So we can work on the beliefs of our heart when we're in that state, because our heart is open, you know, to what we're meditating on and what we're speaking, because you're automatically in a state of meditation when you first wake up, like the first 20 minutes before you get out of bed. So that's a time to really focus on God and focus on a scripture, you know. But if you don't do it, we train yourself. You know, and it's I don't do it every morning, but we can train ourselves to focus on God first thing. And I believe it's going to will change our lives. I believe it's going to make a big difference in our lives. If we put God first, then it's going to make a difference in our day.
Before you start thinking all the things you have to do that day, and then you get into another mode that you don't want to be in. Look at James chapter 5, verse 13. Every religion, you know, has some kind of prayer.
Yep.
That's not what we want to be known for. We want to be known for the love, the relationship, the fellowship that we have with God. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. The word suffering there, is anyone suffering? Enduring troubles, going through a hard time. Instead of judging and putting each other down, we can pray. That's just a general word for prayer. Prayer that's always made to God. Not made to anybody else but God. And they're going through a rough time. So, you know, we were talking about bringing up the highs and the lows, the best thing that happened, the worst thing that happened in a person's day. And so you're talking about that, and they had a low time, and it was difficult for them. What can we do? We can pray. We can pray together. We can teach them how to pray. We can talk to this God that we've been fellowshipping with all day anyway, or whether, even if we haven't, there's a good time to start and pray.
And if we weren't sharing our highs, we can thank God. Thank God for, you know, whatever great thing happened today.
Yep, that's the way it should be. Praise God. You know, I heard a long time ago, we develop intimacy in whom we pray to, whom we pray for, and whom we pray with. I mean, think about praying for. It's hard to be mad at somebody that you're praying for. Difficult, which it should be, praise God. So, but you're that's why we should pray for the president. We should pray for people that are in office. And, if, you know, thinking about this whole thing about prayer and talking about God at home, and, you know, I think this time of this year, there's more talk about certain about Hillary and Trump, let's be honest, than there is about God, about anything else. And it shouldn't be that way. Because, as somebody shared on Thursday night, God's going to get us through this, all right. We'll be okay. We're not going to die. Praise God. We're going to get through.
Amen.
All right. And obviously, everything that's done, anything with God, is always going to have a basis in faith and believing God. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Look at some scripture, though. Luke chapter 11, New Testament scripture, verse 9 and 10. I think that, I'll put it on myself. I know that sometimes I have prayed a worried prayer, and God didn't leave me or forsake me, but still, that's not what we're talking about. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. Jesus said, for I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it will be opened. Now, here's something about prayer. We were just listening to this on a CD. Old Testament prayer was focused on Jesus, the Messiah, was coming, and the things that were going to be done for them. Do you think about this? This is startling to me. Book of Hebrews says these people died in faith. They had to die recognizing that God would later, after they died, send a Messiah and rescue them out of paradise, out of this pit in the earth, and bring them to heaven. They were all looking forward to what would be done. A lot of times in the New Testament, as New Testament people, we're still doing the same thing. Like something still has to be done. No, it's done, praise God. We look back to what's done, and we are confident because Jesus already died, and he already paid the price for sin, and he already forgave our sins, and he already healed our bodies, and he already did these things for us. And so we're just releasing faith that then, well, it's done for me. I can't see it yet, I can't feel it yet, I can't taste it, I can't touch it, but I will, because it's already done. So, and this word ask, in these verses, has to do with that. You're asking, recognizing it's already done. This belongs to me. It's like, see the mashed potatoes over there, past them. It's already there. It's mine. Thank you for it. Amen? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7. I know you probably, we had a plaque with this on the wall when I was growing up, but here's how it reads in the Amplified. Cast the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Sometimes you're going to say, I am just not going to worry about this. Sometimes you got to go towards a plane, I guess. Sometimes you got to just, you know, what are we going to do? I remember one of the things Brother Hagin said, he was asked by the people in church when he was pastoring and something really difficult was going on. What are we going to do? We're going to trust God. What are we going to do? We're going to trust God. What are we going to do? We're going to trust God. That's what we're going to do. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What does the next verse say happens when you do that? And the peace of God, mount garrison and guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I'll tell you what, in situations where it's been really difficult, I've started using the scripture in Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. And then, as we've heard this, we've been reminded of this morning, that grace keeps following after you. It's right there. It's not a long ways off. It's not a long prayer off. It's right there. Praise God. Matthew chapter 6. You know, it's not I have to pray. It's thank God for prayer. Thank God we can communicate with Him. Amen? Verse 7. Jesus was teaching His disciples. They said, well, you know, teach us to pray. So He said, one of the things He said to them was, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard by their many words. Vain repetitions. The Strong says, to repeat the same things over and over, to use many idle words, to babble, to prate. It's like Diane was just saying about it. So we get used to, I've got to say this, and I've got to say it that way. And it just ain't that way. It's not, God hasn't focused it in one little box, and you have to do it exactly this way, or it doesn't work. We're just talking to Him.
Praise God. The last scripture we want to look at is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. When we're looking at this, that this scripture kind of ties up everything that we're talking about in just one verse. It says, Isaiah 40, 31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And basically, waiting on the Lord is we're talking about spending time with Him.
Yep.
Whether you're on your knees, whether you're standing, whether you're laying, whatever position, doesn't matter. Whether you're praying out loud, whether you're meditating, whether you're just communing, is waiting on the Lord, is spending time with Him. What's going to happen when we pray? We're going to renew our strength. Are you tired? Are you worn down? What commercial am I going for? What's the answer of it? Answer for it? Step one is prayer. Amen. Get back and spending time with God. You know that the Holy Spirit lives within you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, resides within us. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Start focusing on who is in you. What abilities you have because of grace. I can't do this. Well, God in His grace, what does grace mean? God's ability in me to do what I can't do on my own. I use that. I've told you this before. I use it on a regular basis. One of my daily prayers is, God, I need grace and wisdom today. Wisdom to know what to do, and grace, I don't know how to do this, but God, you do. God gives me supernatural strength. When I just can't, you know, physically, I don't know how I'm going to accomplish something. Supernatural strength over and over again. Just different things. God is there when we tap into his grace. If we're not waiting on him, if we're not communing with him, it's very hard to instantly tap into the grace of God. Amen. It's when you've been spending time with him, when you understand, when you know that he loves you, and it doesn't matter if you've screwed up. You know, a few weeks back, God, I screwed up, but I need your grace. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The grace was there. You know, so he said, wait on the Lord, that shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Just think about what an eagle's like. Think of it. See, you've all seen pictures of an eagle soaring. It's just such a majestic bird. You know, that's what's available. That's the life we can live. We don't have to be down here with the turkeys. We can be soaring over any problem. It's like, okay, yeah, is there things going wrong? Yeah. But it doesn't affect me because I'm up here. I'm above it all. Because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. He says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So whether you're flying, whether you're running, whether you're walking, still the strength and the power of God, the grace of God is available to us and for us. But it all comes back to spending time every day, as much as we can focus on him, bringing him into our life all the time, so that we know that it's easy to run to the throne of grace to get help. Because we've been intertwined. That's one of the things that this verse is talking about. It's, we're intertwined with God. Where does God end and where do I end? We don't know because we're intertwined. It's just, you know, it's just life. It becomes good. I'm in peace. I'm in joy. It's just life is wonderful. Is everything falling apart around me? Maybe. But I'm in peace and I'm in joy. I'm just above it all because I have been spending time with him. Praise God. Praise God.
It's never waiting for him. It's waiting with him. It's becoming intertwined with him. And then renews is to exchange. We get his strength, which is exactly what we need. Amen? Amen.